Thanks be to God. Roz, thank you so much for reading that. I think I'm going to do a Roz and go without a microphone, if that's okay with you. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Can you hear me back there? Fantastic. Now, this morning, we're going to be thinking about that scene, the reading that Roz has just given us. We're thinking about the cross of Jesus, the place where he died. The reason that we do that on this particular Sunday is we've got, obviously, Holy Week coming up in a couple of weeks. And in that whole melee, we've got Good Friday, obviously. But this gives us a Sunday to focus on that great sacrifice, Jesus dying for us on the cross. Which is why I've got this state-of-the-art technology up here on the wall for us, just to illustrate something of what Jesus did for us. Now, the thing about the story of the cross is that it does look, I mean, what Roz just read, like just a few guys dying on the cross in the first century, being punished for their crimes. But the cross of Jesus is actually the place where heaven meets earth. It's the place where each one of us and every single man, woman and child that has ever lived can become friends with the God who made them. That's why the cross is such a wonderful place that we keep coming back to. But in order to understand the cross, we first need to understand who Jesus is. Jesus, he is the perfect Son of God who has existed forever. He's the one who made all things. He's the one from whom all goodness in the world proceeds and flows. In fact, every single good thing or beautiful thing or amazing thing that you could possibly think of, whether it be silver or gold or all the goals that Lionel Messi has ever scored, everything that's good in all creation, if you were to add it all together, even one drop of Jesus would outweigh all of that. Jesus is the source of all goodness. He's perfect in beauty and goodness and holiness. And we're told in verse 47, even one of the centurions who was there crucifying him recognized this. Surely this was a righteous man, he says. So if you've got the word righteous with you, why don't you come to the front and receive a little bit of a nudge from your mum there. And come on forward. And what we're going to do, Eden, if you can, if you just put the word righteous just above Jesus there, that's it. Fantastic. Yeah. Well done. Good man. Let's give Eden a round of applause. Well done. Fantastic. Good. Now, this word righteous is not really a word we use very often, but righteous means something that is good. It means also to be in right relationship with God. Jesus was all good. He was in right relationship with God. And even though he died on a cross as a criminal, as people did in those days in Roman times, he wasn't there because of his wrongdoing. No, he was perfectly righteous and good. But these other two guys here that we read about, there are two others, one on Jesus' right and one on his left. These guys here, they are not righteous, okay? They are being crucified because they are guilty of theft and all sorts of other crimes. And the punishment that they received was a punishment that in those days, it was a punishment that they deserved. They are guilty. So do you guys want to come forward? And if you just pop the guilty sign, just I think round about there somewhere. Is that okay? Good man. Perfect. Thank you, Caden and Lincoln. Thank you. Let's give them a round of applause as well. These two guys here, they are not like Jesus. They are on the cross because they have committed crimes and they deserve the punishment that they receive. They are guilty. Now, what I want us to see this morning is that in a mysterious way, these two thieves who hung on the cross next to Jesus, they are representative of each and every one of us, one way or the other. Of each and every human being, man, woman, child, everyone who has ever lived. Because all of us, it doesn't matter what age we are, all of us have done things that displease the one who made us, that displease God. All of us in our own ways, whether they be big ways or apparently small ways, we've all rejected the way that God calls us to live. Now look, the penalty for rejecting God and committing what the Bible calls sin is actually separation from God forever, living for eternity without him. And you might think, gosh, Mike, that sounds really extreme. The penalty for, you know, telling a few white lies and you know, living an otherwise normal life, but doing a few things that I know aren't quite right, that seems a bit extreme, that would be the penalty, the punishment for those things. But let me ask you to think about it this way. The seriousness of a crime is always commensurate with the dignity of the person against whom you've committed the crime. Now, I'm going to say that again. You can take another sip of your coffee before I say that. It's probably going to need it for that. The seriousness of a crime is always commensurate with the dignity of the one against whom we've committed the crime. Let me explain, because that probably makes no sense. If I were to go home and lie to my dog, Bella, there wouldn't really be many consequences, would there? She's a dog, she doesn't even know what's going on, right? I've lied to her, that's not right, but, you know, the penalty for it would be pretty small. If I were, however, to go home and lie to my children, yeah, a little bit up the scale, then, you know, it would get slightly more serious, wouldn't it? They'd be nagging in my ear, telling me I'm a liar. They probably wouldn't trust me next time I said something. Give me a nod if you know what I'm saying. It's true, isn't it? Go up the ladder again. If I were to lie to my wife, things start to get more serious now, don't they? I might have to go and get the sleeping bag out because I know I'm sleeping on the couch tonight. Yeah? Do you see that? Let's go up the ladder again. If I were to lie to the government, say about my taxes, what would happen then? And you get slightly more serious. I might get locked up in the slammer. Yeah, I might go to prison. Do you see that? So the seriousness of a crime is always commensurate with the dignity of the one against whom you've committed it. Well, what if you commit something against the one who is infinite in dignity? That is God. He's the one who made us. He is infinitely perfect and holy and good. Well, that crime, even if it seems small to us, becomes infinite in seriousness. And that, my friends, according to the Bible, is each one of us, all of us, have a debt that we can't possibly pay. Our lot in life is to spend an eternity separate from the goodness and majesty and glory of the one who made us. That is our lot. But I don't know if you noticed in the reading that Roz read for us, one of the guys on the cross, one of the thieves, he was promised by Jesus that he would live with him in joy forever. He was promised that that wouldn't be his destiny, even though he's guilty. And you might be thinking, why on earth is that? How does that happen? Well, verse 43 tells us, verse 42 rather. No, 43, sorry. No, 42, sorry, I'm getting myself confused here. He said to Jesus, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. This guy here, he says to Jesus, Jesus, I want to be with you. I know that I'm guilty. I know that I deserve to be here, but I know who you are. And I pray, I ask you, have mercy on me, Jesus. And in that moment, when that man says those words, we see the following happen. All of that guilt that is his is transferred. Look at this high-tech visual aid here. All of his guilt, the punishment that he deserves for the crimes that he has committed, it goes on to Jesus, the one who doesn't deserve to be punished because he's perfectly righteous. But it's not just that. It's not just that his guilt goes to Jesus in that moment on the cross. It is also that Jesus' righteousness, his goodness, his perfect relationship to God goes to him. And that can be us, my friends. All of those who belong to Jesus, it's because our guilt, our shame, the things that we have done wrong, the punishment that we deserve, Jesus takes it all for us. And in exchange, he gives us his perfect righteousness, his relationship with his Father. We can now have the hope of life forever because of Jesus. Now, I don't know if anybody here likes to play the game Uno when they're on holiday. Put your hand up if you know what I'm talking about. Who here has played the game Uno? You guys have played the game Uno. Does anybody know? Does anybody know what this card is? It's quite new in the deck, actually. They've recreated it, and they've given this card here now. Do you know what it is? It's the Uno Swap Hands card. Now this is like the best card you could possibly have in the game. What happens with the Uno Swap card? Switch cards to something else, yeah? If you've got a really, really bad set of cards in your Uno hand, what you can do is if you've got this card, you play the card, and you look at the person with the best hand, and you swap your terrible hand with their good hand. And that is what happens, my friends, at the cross. Jesus does it the other way around. He swaps his amazing hand, his righteousness, all the good things that he has, and he gets our terrible hand, all of the bad things that we have. And he does it because he loves us, because he wants us to live with him forever. We asked you what your favourite place in the world was, didn't we? All of the places that are our favourite places in the world, they're a pale reflection of living with Jesus in all goodness for eternity. Enjoying everything that's good with him and in him. And he wants us to be there. And so no matter who you are this morning, no matter what you've done, you can hand your guilt over to Jesus. You can hand your shame, the things that you know that you've done that you shouldn't have done, you can hand them over to Jesus, and he gives you his life and his righteousness. This cross here, it reminds us that every human being, it doesn't matter what age you are, we all face a choice in life. It's the most important choice that any of us ever has to make. And we've got two different responses to that choice. The thief here, we haven't mentioned him yet, have we? The thief here, he just ignored Jesus. In fact, he actually mocked Jesus a little bit and laughed at him. He didn't believe who Jesus was. His guilt, it remains on him. The punishment remains on him. Don't be like this guy here. Don't keep your terrible Uno hand of cards. Don't be like him. Be like this one here, who recognises his guilt, recognises that he's got a bad hand. And he says to Jesus, take my sin, take my shame, take the penalty, the punishment that I deserve, and let me have your righteousness, your life. And that is the offer of Jesus to each and every one of us this morning. And so if you're here today and you've known the joy of this sweet exchange, this has happened in your life before, my friend, you've got so many reasons to rejoice, to be joyful today. Even though the weather's not very nice, we can sing and dance and shout for joy, because this is the most amazing thing that has ever happened, that Jesus did this for you. And if you've forgotten about this and you've got busy living your Christian life, not remembering what Jesus has done for you, return to the cross again and remember, Jesus has been good to you and kind to you. You've got many reasons to rejoice. But if you're over here and you've never ever experienced the joy and the freedom of being forgiven by Christ, you can turn to him this morning. You could experience exactly the same thing that thief experienced. The joy of forgiveness, new life with Jesus. It is all yours if you'll have him. If that's you and you want to talk to me afterwards, I'd love to chat to you. In fact, even better, we're going to have a time of response in a moment. And Sarah's going to lead us in prayer. If you want to pray at that time, you want to say, Jesus, I want you to be in my life. I want to give you all the bad things and I want to receive you. Then you can do that this morning. It's as simple as praying to him. But you know what? Let me finish with this. This here isn't even the best part of it. The best part of it isn't just that we get Christ's righteousness and his relationship with God. The best part of it is that we get Jesus to be our friend forever, to live with him forever, to walk with us in our daily lives, and to enjoy a relationship with him. Sarah's going to come and lead us in a time of response. And do consider those things as we respond and pray together.